I read to you an account of the first Passover. God gave orders to Moses regarding this first Passover. 2,000 years later, the Jewish nation was still observing the Passover. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. Our Savior, our substitute, our Messiah, our Redeemer, our Passover. And on the night he was betrayed, and the night before he was to be crucified on Calvary's cross, he met with his disciples and observed the Passover. And Brother Dale read that account to you a moment ago. And that's the last Passover. There was to be no more, because Christ, our Passover, suffered that next day. And at that last Passover feast with his disciples, he instituted, ordained the Lord's Supper. And he took the unleavened bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." And he took the wine and he blessed it and he said, "This is my blood shed for you. Drink ye all of it." And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. So what the Lord did then is fulfill the Passover, suffering as our Passover, and ordained the Lord's table to be continued by his church, by his redeemed people, till he comes. He said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes." The Passover showed a picture of his death, a type of his death. The lamb was slain and roasted with fire and eaten, and its blood on the door. And God said, "I see the blood. Passover you." Israel observed it as a type. Christ came in reality, the actual Lamb of God. John said, "That's the Lamb of God. Taketh away the sin of the world." Not in type, but actually. Puts away sin. Not in picture, but actually. Now you take this bread and this cup. As often as you eat it, you show the Lord's death. Now I'm going to read Paul's account when he gave the Lord's table to the church to be observed in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives the church orders concerning the Lord's table, just as Moses gave Israel orders regarding the Passover, which is no more. For Christ our Passover suffered. All right, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Paul says, "For I, an apostle, Paul, have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, to the church, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Now this do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes." Now the religious world has many thoughts and opinions about this Lord's table. It's called communion, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. And some people consider it a sacrament, which simply means that they think that this bread and this wine actually becomes the body and blood of Christ. And by receiving this bread, you actually receive Christ into your person. And by drinking this wine, you actually receive the blood of Christ, and that's what saves you. But that's not so. This represents His body and His blood. When He gave the table, when He held out the bread, said, "This is my body," His body was standing there in front of them. He hadn't even died. This is a picture. This is a symbol. "This is my blood." He held the wine cup. No, His blood was still in His veins. He hadn't even shed it yet. So it's what I say, what He says to us tonight. "This is my body, broken for you." Picture type. All right, some people regard this Lord's table as a religious ceremony, just a ritual. Just a matter of form, a tradition, going through the motions. Which you observe occasionally because it's commanded. To some people, it's a means to discipline a church, to promote unity in the congregation, or to discipline wayward members. But Paul has much more meaningful language concerning this table in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn over there just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is more meaningful language here, and this tells you what the Lord's table really is. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14. "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." You can make an idol out of this table, make an idol out of the cross, make an idol out of the Bible, make an idol out of the Virgin Mary, make an idol out of anything. So you stay away from idolatry. "And I speak as to wise men," verse 15. Now you judge what I say. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we are one, we being many are one bread and one body, and we're partakers of that one bread." Now, this cup which we bless, how do we bless it? Well, we bless it by setting it apart, especially. This is no common, ordinary meal. This is the Lord's table. We set it apart, especially on a certain night for a certain purpose. We gather for this one purpose, to observe the Lord's table, to worship Him. We bless it by setting it apart. Secondly, we bless it by faith, because none but believers who discern His broken body and shed blood are to participate in this table. Only believers, those who discern the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Then we bless it not only by faith, but by prayer, as our brother just led us in prayer concerning the observance of this table, that God would bless it with His presence, that God would bless it with His Holy Spirit and His approval and acceptance. And then we bless it, fourthly, by solemn meditation. He says, let a man down here in chapter 11, verse 28, he says, let a man examine himself. Examine himself, and so let him eat. There's a time of meditation, consideration, contemplation, a time to examine our hearts. Do we love Christ? Do we discern His broken body and shed blood? Do we come to honor the Lord in observing this table? So, the cup, back to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, the cup of blessings which we bless it by setting it apart, especially. We bless it by faith, believing what our Lord said concerning His death. We bless it by prayer, by calling on Him to honor His word and give us His presence and His blessings as we worship Him. And we bless it by solemn meditation, by examining ourselves in regard to eating this bread and receiving this cup. But then he said there in verse 16, this cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now the word communion, listen to me a moment, the word communion is in the Bible only four times. That's all. Two times right here. This cup, this bread, is it not the communion, twice, of the blood and body of Christ? It's used over in 2 Corinthians 6 where it says that we are to come apart, be separate from the world, for what communion does light have with darkness? What communion does good have with evil? And then it's used over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, when Paul said this, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you." So the word communion, is this not the communion of the blood of Christ? Is this not the communion of the body of Christ? The word communion means a union. It means a oneness. It means a participation. Is this not actually participating in the blood of Christ, in the body of Christ? Is this not really a oneness? He says, "We being many are one bread." We being many are one body. We all are partakers, union, oneness, participation, partakers. So this cup, this bread, is a sign and a symbol and a token of our oneness with Christ in His death, in His shedding of His blood, in His burial, in His resurrection. We are confessing right now before God and before one another that His body was broken for us, and His blood was shed for us, and only by His broken body and shed blood are we one with Him and one with God. Father, I pray that those whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may be one, as Thou art one with me, and I with Thee, and us with them, one. Is this cup of blessing which we bless, is it not that oneness, union, participation of the blood of Christ and the bread, the body of Christ? Verse 17 again. We being many are one bread and one body and partakers of that one bread. Now verse chapter 11. Let's look at this for a moment. Verse 23. Now, I received this table, this Lord's table, this communion, cup and bread. I received it of the Lord. Paul said, that's where I received it. We received it first in promise when He said the seed of woman will bruise the serpent's head. We received it next in picture. I read about it in Exodus 12. When Moses took the Passover lamb and slew it, roasted it with fire, its body, put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. God said, a Passover. That's in picture. We receive this gospel in person. Brother Dale read that. My body, he said, my blood. So we received it from the Lord. The same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, unleavened bread. When the Jewish nation, Israel, observed the Lord's table. I mean, when they observed the Passover, back from Moses' day to Christ, the Passover, they observed the Passover. There wasn't to be in that house anywhere any leaven. They used leaven in their bread like you ladies do, but not for the Passover. There was to be no leaven in that house. It'd be cleared out of that house. No leaven. Leaven was a type of evil. It permeates everything. It affects everything. But this bread, which they used, was unleavened bread. And you read it twice when the Lord met with His disciples to observe the feast of the unleavened bread. Because it's a picture of the holiness of His body. That Passover lamb was to be without spot or blemish. Perfect. And our Lord Jesus Christ has no sin. And when we set up this Lord's table to observe it, there's to be no leaven in this bread. It's to be unleavened bread. Not crackers, not bananas. It's to be unleavened bread. Same thing when you baptize somebody, you use water. A river of water. To picture a burial. And you can't picture the perfect, sinless body of Christ except with unleavened bread. And he pictures his sinless body, the wine. He took wine. His pure, sinless blood. Not grape juice. You can't picture Christ's precious blood with grape juice. Only with wine that does not spoil. Just set it there on the shelf and leave it there. It'd be just like it was a year later when you come back. That's right. Because it doesn't have that sin in it. And that burial will be right there, just like it is. This represents my body and my blood. That's, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. He said, this do. He took that bread, he took that wine. He said, this represents my sinless body and my perfect blood. And this do, not something else, this do. This do, there in simplicity. This do in remembrance of me. And what it is, it represents two things. It represents substitution. He took our place. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him. By his stripes we're healed. He took our place, our substitute. He had no sin of his own. He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was our substitute. He died in our stead, in our room, in our place. He took upon himself all the sins of all of God's people, of all generations, of all nations. How could one man bear so many sins because of who he is? He's God in human flesh. He's not just a man, he's the God-man. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That one Redeemer. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. It's who died. Not how much blood he shed. It's not how long he suffered. It's who died. Who suffered. Whose blood. The perfect blood of... Paul said, you elders feed the church of God which he purchased with what? His own blood. The blood of God in human flesh. That's pure blood, holy blood, powerful blood, sinless blood, effectual blood. That's what that is. Save all who come to it. That's right. And he says here, and the second word, satisfaction. He's our substitute, and he made full satisfaction. Full satisfaction. Let me show you that in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 11. All these other priests, you know, Hebrews 10:11, every priest standeth daily, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, the lambs, the bulls, the turtle doves, the goats, the bullocks, all these sacrifices which could never take away sin. The blood of an animal cannot take away the sin of a man. But this man, this God-man, this man Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down. Well, these priests never sat down. They stand. Their work's never done. He sat down having finished his work on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, one sin offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. How can God not remember our sins? Because Christ paid for them. That's satisfaction. He put them away. They don't exist. The sins of his people that were laid on him were buried with him in the grave. And he came forth without sin unto salvation. They put away. God used therefore illustrations. He said, I cast them into the depths of the sea. He said, I'll cast them behind my back. He said, I'll separate your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. I remember them no more. Infinity. And they don't exist. Our substitute made full satisfaction. Well, what are we doing here? All right, here's what we're doing here. Here's what we're doing here. He said, verse 24, he gave thanks, he broke it, said, take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. This do in remembrance. We're remembering him, his blood, his sacrifice, his sin offering. We're doing it in remembrance of him. Not instead of him, not in the place of him, but we're doing it in remembrance of him. You can't remember someone you never knew. But we know him. And we remember. And we're remembering his covenant that he made with the Father on our behalf as our surety. We're remembering his life, which was lived on this earth in perfection. Holy perfection, that he might impute to us the righteousness of God. We remember his death, by which we're justified. We remember his resurrection, which is our hope. Because he lives, we live. So we're remembering who? Our Lord. What? He died for our sins. Why? That God may be justified. Where is he now? The right hand of God. And we remember them. And then he said down here in verse 26, all right, and as often as you eat this bread, there's no time. He didn't say do it once a quarter or every fourth Sunday or every Sunday. He said as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. No substitute of this bread and this cup. You do show the Lord's death. You actually show. What do you show? You're showing his actual death. He died. Because this bread has been, it was a grain. And it was ground up. And then it was baked in a hot oven. And then it came out bread. And our Lord's body was broken and bruised and afflicted and roasted on the cross. It came out bread. The bread of life, manna from heaven. Eat of this bread, you'll never die. And another thing you have here is his body, the bread, and the wine, his blood, and they're separate. Anytime the blood is separated from the body, that's death. So we're remembering death. Death. And we're remembering, we're actually showing, you do show his death. As often as you do this, you show his death. And the second thing you're doing is showing your faith in his death and your reception of it when you take this bread and eat it. And take this wine and drink it. Receiving Christ into myself. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become sons of God. Eat this bread. Drink this cup. Receive it within. Looking at it won't save you. Looking at Christ won't save you. Knowing he's there won't save you. Believing he died won't save you. The devil believes and trembles. You receive it. That's right. You've got to eat my body and drink my blood. That's right. And that's what you're showing here. You're showing what you've done. I've received Christ into my heart. And you're showing something else. You're showing before God and before men your union with, your love for, and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I come to this table without hesitation, without reservation, without any timidity. This is my hope. Christ's broken body and shed blood is all the hope I have of acceptance with God. There's no other hope. And I'm saying that to God, I'm saying that to you, and I'm saying that to myself. Without him, I can do nothing. And I mean his death. Now, not just Christ, the good man, or the virgin son, or the good neighbor, or healer of diseases. I'm talking about the crucified Christ. That's the one. And you show to your children the gospel in picture. We've got little children sitting here, and they're wondering, what are you doing? And Moses said to Israel, when your children ask you, what do you mean by this service? You tell them it's the Lord's Passover. You tell them when we were in sin, we were in bondage, we were in slavery, we were in the Egypt of this world. And He came, our Lamb, and He died on the cross and shed His blood. And He put it on our heart's door. And we ate and received Him within. And when He destroys this world, He's going to pass over us. Why is He going to do that? You see the blood? See the blood. Till He comes. And then we won't have to remember Him. We'll be with Him. We'll be like Him. Till He comes. You know, those three words sum up all our hope till He comes. I think I'm going to ask them to put that on my tombstone when they put this old body in the grave. This is just till He comes. And after that, it's over. It's over. So let a man examine himself. Verse 28, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. All right. Brethren, you serve the Lord's table for us. All right, let's sing.